News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio on the News Talk Powerhouse of North Alabama. And this is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, folks, I got to tell you real quickly. One of our team members is the Alabama Pecan Company, all right? You know, the old saying is better to give than to receive, right? But sometimes finding that perfect gift gets a little bit impossible, especially when you've used up all your ideas and you don't know what somebody wants or what your clients might want. Well, here's what you can do. How about sending your customers a little piece of home with the Alabama Pecan Company? Now, I know these folks personally, too, and they've got a website, Alabama Pecan Co., that's C-O, alabamapecanco.com. And they are basically, they have a cafe and mercantile facility, a brick and mortar facility down on the way to the beach. People passing through Sampson, Alabama on the way to the beach on Highway 87 can stop in anytime, but they do great online sales at alabamapecanco.com. So if you want them to take the guesswork out of the holiday season, they've got all kinds of gift items that are already ready on their website, or they can do custom gift boxes for your business, your clients. Just listen. AlabamaPecanCo.com. That's AlabamaPecanCo.com. Let them handle the gifts under the tree for you guys for this season. All right, listen. So number two on the Triple Dipper today, bring back the broken windows. Now, that may sound weird until you understand what broken windows are. And there's a reason why this is necessary. Because liberals who currently have the power in D.C., and oftentimes the power in certain states, are doing all they can right now to make it easy to be a criminal, hard to be a law-abiding citizen. Isn't that crazy? I mean, does that feel backwards to you? Because it is. But it's what's happening right now. Everywhere we look, we are seeing things that happen. Like, for instance, the guy in Waukesha, Wisconsin, who mowed down scores of people. Five people are dead. 40-something people have been severely injured, and a city has been traumatized because a guy with multiple violent felonies, several of which were still pending trial, was out on only $500 bail. That is unreal to have violent crimes for which you basically have to just, you know, you can find that much money in your couch cushions if you have to. And he's out on bail because it was way too, so soft, in fact, that the DA's office is now launching its own internal investigation to find out how their staff allowed that to happen. And then you've got other things happening right now. Story on the Washington Examiner. I pulled this down just yesterday. Rashida Tlaib, you know who I'm talking about, the one who always looks angry. She's a member of the squad up in D.C. Michigan Democrat Representative Rashida Tlaib has been a supporter of a bill called the BREATHE Act. And I've forgotten what BREATHE stands for. It's an acronym. They love acronyms more than the military, I think. But the BREATHE Act literally is a bill that, you know, she says it's endorsed the BREATHE Act because it looks at federal policies and how we incarcerate. I don't even know if our society, we even know how to rehabilitate every single person that wants to harm people. Oh, that's a good reason to stop doing it altogether, I guess, because you're not sure how to treat every single one of them. But listen, here's the deal. The BREATHE Act was created by activists from Black Lives Matter and in response to the death of George Floyd. It was one of those knee-jerk things that activists glom onto and recognize they can just jump in there and try to change society when one bad thing happened. Did you know, though, that the bill that Rashida Tlaib is endorsing and promoting literally has a 10-year plan to shut down all federal prisons and immigration detention centers? What? What are you talking about? If there are no prisons, no federal prisons, then that would can be interpreted to say that there's really no federal law because there's zero penalties. Why have a law? It literally, and she was questioned about it, and she tried to kind of crawfish, well, you know, but I mean, it just, you know, and then she went on to say no more policing, incarceration, and militarization. Okay, whatever that means. Well, there's a thing called the broken windows theory. If you remember back in the day, some of you remember back in the day, New York City went through a phase there where no one wanted to go there. It was no longer considered to be the tourist capital of the world. The Big Apple had gotten a little rotten at the core. And then Mayor Giuliani came in. And Rudy Giuliani came in, and he was a former prosecutor, and he believed that it was time to clean up the act. It literally Times Square at the time, which is now is called the Crossroads of the World, but Times Square, which is a magical place. I mean, it is unbelievable. Charlene and I finally clicked that off our bucket list to take a good trip to New York City. We saw shows. We went to restaurants. We had the best time. And Times Square, how cool is that place? That was only a few years ago. I would not go there right now. I wouldn't feel comfortable going there right now. It still looks kind of the same, but the level of safety and security is gone. Not to mention the liberal policies that have, you know, that they've just taken advantage of COVID and just locked the place down. But all that to say, it is not the same. Well, Rudy Giuliani, it was even worse. When he came into office, it was like it was strip joints and triple X theaters all around Times Square. No one wanted to go there. Crime was rampant because liberal policies had made it so. And he instituted what was called the Broken Window Crime Prevention Strategy, meaning that if there was, it was developed in the 80s. It was a model of policing developed by a guy named James Wilson, another named George Kelling. And they put this together, and basically the theory was, if you let the little crimes go by unchecked, it leads to big crimes. And so by focusing on small crimes, things like people throwing rocks through windows in the neighborhood, and showing that you cared about the small stuff, it put criminals on notice that even the small stuff will be addressed. And as a result, I mean, literally, crime went way down in New York. So if I can find those statistics here, it was pretty amazing to look and see the changes that came about because of broken windows. But the police want it. The police want it back. And they know they can't. I mean, here's the deal. There's an amazing amount of data out there to show that when they instituted the broken windows policy during the 90s, murders decreased by 19%. Car thefts fell by 15%. They cleaned up Times Square and other aspects of life and restored, in many ways, they restored what would be called a quality of life to the citizens and the tourists and the businesses of New York City. And yet that is being deemed, oh, that's too hard on people. So here's the pros and cons. One article I'm looking at from Newsmax, of all places. Newsmax. Pros and cons. Don't think they're all one-sided. They'll give you both sides. Number one, like a pro would be that troublesome juveniles learn to clean their act. You catch a juvenile doing a petty crime, and they clean themselves up. Crime rates drop, like I just said, and it provides for some motivated leadership in communities. Some of the cons are that a juvenile who gets caught doing a petty crime will have a petty crime on their record. Well, that's called accountability. I'm sorry. Another is that people's perceptions of social and physical disorder differ from each other's, meaning that some people don't see a big deal out of what some people would say needs to be addressed. It's called laws. So if it's a law, it's still a law. Address the law. Don't make it up as you go along. We're not talking about vigilantism. Address the law. The other and the main concern that comes from the activist side is that individual rights could be abused. And that's where you say, okay, enforcing the smallest rules, are police going to be tempted to cross a line performing their duties? And that's where I believe you have to, at some point, trust those with the job. Keep in mind, the police force in New York City is extremely diverse. It's not like an all-white police force going into black neighborhoods. It's extremely diverse. Let me do this. I've got a clip. Let me play you a clip of a NYPD officer being interviewed on Fox about this very thing. I did not know this was in the clip when I was resourcing my show until I was reviewing it this morning and getting it ready for Copper. But Copper, you got clip four? You good to go on clip four right now? All right, yeah. So, Copper, go ahead, clip four, New York City police officer, broken windows. Play it.
Job. These are, you know, I grew up in New York City. I grew up in a city of crime. I watched the broken windows theory of policing transform this city into the tourist capital of the world, truly the safest city in the world. And we went away from that under these progressive policies. And we're seeing the deterioration, not only in the high crime, but in truly in the quality of the life. The quality of life has eroded in this city, and it's going to continue. And it's going to go further. And these are the professionals, again, the toughest people amongst us, they're telling you it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's not a question of if, but when.
Well, John, you know, there is a new mayor that's going to come into office in New York City, Eric Adams, who's a former police officer.
Let me stop you there, Copper. So you heard it. He was literally saying, He's an NYPD police officer. He's a representative of the NYPD Officers Union, I believe. And he's saying, he's talking about the fact that a survey indicates that the NYPD, their morale's at an all-time low. They've got any number of folks that are just wanting to quit because they've never been in a place like this where they're not even allowed to arrest people. And if they do, they just walk the next day because bail is set so low, because sentencing reforms have made it ridiculous, because no one cares about the small crimes anymore, and the neighborhoods are no longer considered to be friendly. And they, you know, you saw it just last year when you had cops were walking away without saying a word when milkshakes were being thrown on them and buckets of water being thrown on them. And the complete disrespect that was going on, especially last year, it was almost to the point of, it was open season on police officers and NYPD, and around the nation, really. And we've got to get back to the point that broken windows policing is allowed. We've got to get back to the point that we're allowed to have officers who are allowed to do their jobs, and they're allowed to care about the smallest of things, because quality of life. If you don't want to live in a neighborhood where kids are allowed to throw rocks through windows, do you? You also don't want to live in a neighborhood where people get shot in drive-by shootings, or their houses get burned because, you know, people want to protest, and businesses get boarded up because here they come again, or the massive looting you've been seeing right now in, like, San Francisco. You don't want those things. Well, then you make sure none of them happen, to include the small stuff, because if the small stuff keeps going, it turns into big stuff. If they know you don't care about the small stuff, they'll keep pushing their limits till they find out where you do care. It's time for broken windows policing to come back. Listen, we're going to head to a short break right now. When I get back from that break, let me play a little more for you when we get back from this break. Let me tell you about some other things that are happening out there. When you get away from policing, when you get away from caring about the small stuff, what happens? It's amazing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, let me tell you about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. Wow, what a cool job. I mean, I say this all the time, but it is. I mean, can you imagine if every single day you got to go to work to just pick up the phone, call people, go, hey, found you some more money. And that's what they do. I know these folks personally, too. They got 23 years of experience, probably pushing 24 now. And the folks over at etaxbreaks, they literally check out the way you run your business, things you do that you might think are just common sense. They comb through over 3,000 programs around the nation, and they find tax credits, tax incentives, grants, other things that you qualify that you didn't know you qualified for. And then they go ahead and just let you know, hey, found you some money. And it's just, you know, it's stuff like, who did you hire? When did you hire them? Did you keep your business open during the pandemic? Did you survive a natural disaster? Where did you place your business geographically? All these kinds of things qualify you, and you may not even know it. They're good at this. And in July alone, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. And they only get paid if they find you money. So it's no harm, no foul, right? Check them out. They got a special website just for our Right Side listeners, etaxbreaks.com/right side. etaxbreaks.com/right side. So, folks, I'm going to play you a clip right now. Copper, you got clip two ready. Go ahead and make sure that one's good to go, because I'm going to play. This is Laura Ingraham talking about things that are happening. Have you seen the stories? New York Post I'm looking at right now. This particular story I pulled off New York Post. Literally, it's maddening to watch this. These brazen thefts. And this is, by the way, it ought to be possible to operate a retail store. New York Post says it this way, too. It ought to be possible to operate a retail store in one of America's largest cities. But this, like, very basic commercial proposition of having a retail store is becoming extremely difficult. You've got retail locations shutting down in San Francisco because they're sick of being people walking in and stealing, because San Francisco will not prosecute theft like this. They're not prosecuting shoplifting. They're saying that it's too low level. Too low level? Well, when I'm talking about broken windows, that shouldn't have to include theft. But literally, cities around the country are literally becoming places where you don't want to go because it's becoming, you know, just a place for thieves. San Francisco right now is called the shoplifting capital of the USA. Why would anyone want that honor? Well, they created it for themselves because their policies, well, literally, okay, let me back up. Here's what's happening. If you haven't seen this on the news, just Google, what are they calling it? It's smash and grab robberies, right? Smash and grab. But it's really, some are calling it looting. But what happens is, like 20 cars are just rushing up to the door of a Nordstrom in this case. Almost 80 people come piling out, rush into the store wearing masks. They run in, they fill their hands with everything they can grab, and they run back out of the store. In a matter of 2 to 3 minutes, they have raided that store like over $1 million in property just recently. I mean, you won't believe it watching this. They did it in Neiman Marcus, they did it in Nordstrom, they did it in a Louis Vuitton. These are upscale stores. They are literally bashing their way into the stores, some of them carrying weapons, and gangs of like 80 are rushing in. It's like a flash mob, but it's for theft. Laura Ingraham talks about this. Copper, go ahead and play Laura Ingraham on clip two.
Obligation to explain this all to my kids. And so I told them, look, the stealing is happening because liberal politicians have coddled and glorified radical BLM activists who market grievance and they market resentment nationwide. Now, remember in the summer of 2020, it was Gavin groveling?
For those of you that are out there protesting, I want you to know you matter. And I want you to know I care, we care. You've lost patience, so have I. You are right to feel wronged. You are right to feel the way you are feeling.
Oh, it's just like you want to take a shower after watching him. And who can forget San Francisco's Mayor London Breed, her push for a $120 million cut from the police budget. By the way, for this, she was profiled in Vogue magazine. Now, when reality hit, she pulled back on that idiotic idea. But I was thinking, it's funny how thieves aren't trying this same nonsense in states like Florida or Texas. Instead, they're targeting the Bay Area with Marxist DAs like Chesa Boudin and big cities like Chicago run by corrupt mayors like Lori Lightfoot. Organized criminals.
All right, go ahead and stop there, Copper. What she's saying is this, and it's true. Liberal soft-on-crime policies create crime. Liberal soft-on-crime policies create crime. It is time for us to, as a nation, care enough to go back to the days of broken windows policy, broken windows policing. There is no reason we should tolerate some crimes being okay because they're not, because they reduce quality of life. All right. That's enough of that one. That's number two in the Triple Dipper. Listen, we're coming back after this. One of my favorite times of every single week. My buddies Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, the Grand Council, will be back right after this.